Furthermore, the Byzantines were heirs to Roman techniques of management. They had many more iron tools available to them. So in that Mediterranean core of the Byzantine Empire, agricultural patterns were not so different from the late Roman world, and they were quite successful in exploiting the soil to its maximum use. Anyone who travels in that part of the world, for instance, is impressed by the terracing techniques that are used. In the Balkans, on the plateau of Asia Minor, in these regions, you have mountainous regions, high plateaus. There you would see stock raising, you'd see timber, you'd see also mining, other activities that supported the Mediterranean dry farming. And so the Byzantine Empire had quite a diversified set of foodstuffs and consumables being produced from the land. And this increased from probably the early 10th century, late 9th century, as population increased in the Byzantine Empire. This economy responded very well in meeting that demand. There is some indication of the success of that economy in the 10th century legislation passed by Macedonian emperors. There is talk of men known as dunatoi, which mean the powerful ones. These would be the high prelates, abbots, bishops, archbishops, imperial officials, as well as leading aristocratic families in the provinces, many of them who held military positions, some of them holding bishoprics, some of them going the route in the church. All of these groups were seen as possibly inimical to the smaller landowners, particularly the holders of military tenures. Although, as I mentioned in an earlier lecture, these people were usually almost absentee farmers and something of a squirearchy or a lower aristocracy in their own right. And imperial legislation was intended to curb the efforts of these higher groups, these so-called dunatoi, from taking over lands. And that was, in effect, a testimony to the success of stock raising on the Anatolian plateau and the desire of these groups to extend their range of exploiting the land to their advantage, and had very little to do with the notion of a general economic decline, that there was a shift to a pastoral economy as opposed to an agricultural. And it dealt with certain areas where either agriculture or stock raising could be used. But in both instances, in all instances in the legislation, it's clear that the Byzantine economy has responded quite successfully. We also have some extremely good documentation coming later on in the 13th century, especially from monastic estates in Greece, where the records are quite complete. And they show the types of techniques in farming, collecting rents and money, management, the diversification of grains with commercial crops that clearly characterize the 10th and 11th century. And so what is remarkable or significant about Byzantine agriculture is its continuity, that despite political change, despite the fighting going on in the 12th century, that patterns already clearly evident on the rise in the 10th century are still being pursued in the 13th century. And this economy is quite successful in responding to rising population, as well as rising fiscal demands by the Achaemenian emperors in the 12th century. Southern Greece was particularly prosperous. An area that had suffered a great deal in the so-called Byzantine Dark Age recovered very dramatically in the 9th and 10th century because it was the home to the silk industry. The production of silk in the Peloponnesus, that is the southern peninsula of Greece, which was renamed the Morea in the middle Byzantine period, which means mulberry tree in Byzantine Greek, because the mulberry trees were used to feed the silkworms, and the silk that was harvested was then sent into towns such as Corinth, Athens, and Thebes that became major production centers of garments that were exported at great profit. Usually these were operating under imperial supervision and patent, these so-called industries. But it was part of that diverse economy producing a range of not only just basic foodstuffs, but all sorts of finished products and goods, consumables. At the same time, it's important to note two other aspects about the Byzantine economy in the period before 1071. One was that Constantinople and cities continued to act as major stimuli to that economy. And as population increased, starting from somewhere in the 850s or 870s, perhaps a generation and a half earlier than the increase that you saw in Western Europe, Constantinople was an enormous center for marketing goods. It had high prices. By my estimate, prices were five times higher in Constantinople than the rest of the empire. That can be documented in a number of ways. And therefore, it was profitable and useful to bring in all these products from very far distances and sell them because the profits were there.